You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host Keelan Harvey on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell.
And your co-host, Keelan
Harvey. We are local mortgage experts right here at 1150 AM, KKNW. It's a great day to talk about money, especially over the holidays, and that's what we're here for. That's what the show is all about, how to make money, how to save money, how to have a better quality of life for you and your family. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we're here to answer any questions or connect you with the guests that we have on the show. Please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, we have Amanda Wright and Jen Johnson Cameron of Coldwell Banker Bain Global Luxury, women leaders in real estate and the myth of life balance. Thank you so much for you guys for coming into studio.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's exciting. We have the two of you for the entire show, so it's just going to kind of be a panel conversation with the three girls and a guy. Isn't there like a three baby, three guys and a baby? Or
it's a story of my life. Like Angela in London, right?
Yeah. And a little bit about Amanda first. Amanda Wright, a business graduate of Washington State University. Amanda's a real estate advisor, Realtor and certified negotiation expert with Coldwell Banker Bain in Bellevue. She works with clients who buy and sell homes on the east side in Seattle, and she specializes in expertly guiding homeowners with big lifestyle change and complex situations. Amanda is an avid learner, traveler, and food lover, and is regularly described as bold and willing to try anything. She has lived here on the east side with her husband and her three-year-old, and she's actually a little bit sick, so if you hear some coughing going on through the show, that's Amanda, but I was really happy that she actually made it here to studio. She's not going to get us sick. I can feel it. We also have Jen Johnson, Cameron in studio, Coldwell Banker Bain Global Luxury Division. As Vice President of Coldwell Banker Bain Global Luxury Division, as well as Principal Manager Broker for the new Lincoln Square office, Jen is responsible for leading the vision, brand development, and growth of the Global Luxury Division, as well as Global Luxury Office in Lincoln Square. And I'm just really excited for just to see her move up and what she's doing. I've known Jen for a long time, excited to have her in studio. And so congratulations to you, Jen.
Thank you.
Speaking of Jen, you are the vice president of the first division of Coldwell Banker Global Luxury here in the Northwest. Very, very exciting. Tell us about your path, your story. How'd you get here? Why'd you choose to land at Coldwell Banker?
Oh, gosh. You know, having grown up in a family of developers and land advisors and real estate brokers, I really never thought I would take that route. I thought, you know, I might become an actress, a lawyer, something very different. I grew up in the back of my father's car sitting on top of his old MLS books while he scrolled through the Thomas Guide. So for all the oldies out there, you'll know what I'm talking about. But, you know, life is a journey, and my background started in mortgage loans and then working for a land title insurance company. And then when I found myself married and having babies, I wanted to be a working mom. And so I looked at what my options were, and at the end of the day, real estate really afforded me the opportunity to have a great career, make a great income, and be there to put my kids to bed most days. You know, attend their school events, and when they were sick, I could still be there for them. Shortly thereafter, found myself as a single mom, raising two children, one with autism, and enjoyed a long career in sales. And then in 2010, I left the Seattle area briefly, went to New York City to put my daughter, Jordan, into a school for autism. People from all over the world moved to New York City to go to the Rebecca School. It's pretty renowned.
Wow.
And life-changing. So when I moved to New York City, I needed a job. I did not know anybody, but I had this great background in real estate. So I was offered my first kind of position in management. And what I found during my 4 years in New York City was that I had a strength in brand development. And so I worked for several companies in the New York City area and came back here in 2013 at the end of the year. And recently, just really looking at the landscape, how much we've changed, you know, the industry has changed, what was on the horizon. I had the opportunity to kind of discern, you know, where do I want to go in this phase of my career? And I had the opportunity to meet with Bill Riss, our owner, and discuss his vision and plan for Coldwell Banker Bain Global Luxury. And knowing him and kind of his reputation in the business and his passion and excitement for where things are going, I just wanted to be a part of that. And so I made this decision to join the team, and I haven't looked back.
That is so, so awesome, Jen. So, Jen, I'd love for you to share with our listeners a little bit more about Coldwell Banker Global Luxury brand, and what can clients expect when they come to Global Luxury office and work with one of your brokers?
Yeah, so obviously we're a franchise. So Coldwell Banker out of New Jersey is our, you know, global company. We're in countries all over the world. But 2 years ago, they decided to launch a new division. Previously, they had a program called Previews, which is no longer. And they wanted to really adapt to today's luxury consumer and provide resources to brokers that are serving these clients. And so they launched the Global Luxury Division. Coldwell Banker Bain launched one of the very first global luxury offices in the Pacific Northwest in the world. Now we're in Spain and all over with global luxury offices. There's a specific kind of entry into global luxury. The brokers that are a part of the global luxury program go through extensive certification in luxury marketing. And
which is key.
Very key.
Yeah.
The luxury properties require a higher level of marketing prowess, different resources, a global reach, et cetera, et cetera. But with Global Luxury, these brokers probably did not start out selling luxury properties. So they've got clients of every property type and price point, and that's kind of their bread and butter. But it's taken them experience, and the clients are coming to them really expecting that they are that advisor. They're sometimes working, the brokers, I should say, are sometimes working with wealth managers, lawyers, expected to be a part of that wealth team.
Yes.
And the clients might ask something out of the box, you know, extraordinary, such as, hey, can you help me find a vendor to move my car collection to Arizona?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
you know, can you, you know, find packers and movers? Or if they're coming in, they need personal chefs and all kinds of things. And so the brokers, when they come into the office, they need to hear from us. Well, gosh, maybe that's not something we would normally do, but we've got your back. And we'll figure it out together. And then from there, they have extensive marketing resources at agency level and pretty much the wide breadth of all the resources that they need to service those clients.
Yeah, and the strategy and everything that you do is going to be completely different with a luxury buyer than it's going to be with, you know, somebody that's not. So, yeah, really important to have that expertise and the connections as well as you were talking about.
Yeah, we want to make sure that every single client has that experience, the highest level, that we don't ever cheapen that regardless of, let's say, a price point, but that when they come in, that they all receive the same level of service. It's just that maybe their home doesn't fit into Mansion Global because it doesn't hit the $3 million price point or something like that.
And your office, too. I love that. What, Lincoln Town Center, right? Am I saying that? Or is it
Lincoln Square South.
Lincoln Square South. That is the coolest renovation and everything they've done over there. And I got a glimpse of your guys' office, and it is beautiful.
Yeah.
So, it's beautiful. It's fun to bring clients there. You know, it's sort of the level that they expect, and sometimes it exceeds the level that they expect. But it's a great space.
Well, that says a lot
of
it exceeds the level they expect with the luxury clients.
Yeah,
the food options, too. Huh?
You can't beat it.
We call it a problem. Between food hall and Ascend at the top of the building, you know, you
we
try
have to walk the
lunch.
Gamut every day. Keep your eyes focused on the ground.
We're getting a new boot camp next door, and we're pretty thrilled.
Well, that's
about
awesome.
That
is awesome.
We were at Civility and Unrest just the we had a company party there, just and that's what a cool little cocktail. I mean,
oh my gosh, have you guys been there before?
No, where's that?
You can any cocktail you want. You just like tell them kind of what you want them to make, like a flavor or something, and they just just make these outrageous cocktails. And it feels like you're going into a little secret club that you actually have to be invited behind the doors to get there. It's so cool.
Oh, yeah. Like a little speakeasy.
It's a speakeasy, yeah. Really
it's
cool.
Very, very cool.
Handmade drinks and all that.
Well, they owe you a free drink. That was a pretty good plug.
I think so, too.
Thank you so much, Jen. Yeah. Well, I left my credit card there. It was still there the next day, and my driver's license. So, yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, that's a good night.
Uh-huh, that's a good night.
Amanda, you've been on our show before, and I'm so excited to have you back.
I have. Thanks for letting me come back. I must not have screwed up too badly last time.
You did awesome.
No, you are awesome. You are a
breath of fresh
star.
Air.
Yes, and we appreciate you so much. But I, you know, remind our listeners about your path of success, and you know, you've obviously made this change into this luxury, global luxury avenue, which is exciting. Tell us about your success, and how did you get here, and why did you decide to go down this real estate path?
Yeah, so my journey started in the world of hospitality business and kind of took me to international development for a few years in the Peace Corps. I was in Botswana doing business development with some nonprofits there, among many other things. And I really enjoy and excel in working one-on-one with clients to come up with creative solutions, sort of think outside the box, solve problems. And I just felt like management, hospitality management, was not the way to do that. I wasn't getting that out of my career. So I started searching for a career that fit me a little bit better. And you know, with my background, working in Botswana, I learned a lot about managing stress, using creative solutions to work through major roadblocks, whether it be cultural, language, work, teamwork, you name it. So I became really good at looking past sort of the emotional triggers and asking, okay, if we can't do it this way, how do we make this work? How do we do it? And so I just figured that the best application for these particular skills and a way to work one-on-one with people again was through real estate. So, and you know, I think buying and selling real estate, for most people, it's your largest asset. And I think it's one of the more stressful events in one's life. Oftentimes, can be up there with kids and getting married and the whole thing. Just sort of depends on the situation. So I love that I can come alongside a family or an individual and lead them through that stressful time with confidence and care and creativity and, you know, again, just using all these skill sets I developed to help them reach their end goal.
Yeah, I love that. And we've got a couple minutes before we take it to break, but I want to ask you, you know, what's going on? I want to talk to you about professionally when we get back from commercial, but I'd love to hear what's new happening with you personally.
This has been a big year for me. And we'll kind of talk about this later, but personal and professional sort of blend together.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about personal and professional.
When you're a businesswoman, but a few things, you know, I met my threshold goal for selling luxury homes and became certified as a luxury property specialist, both by Coldwell Banker Bain and the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing. So that was exciting. Mm-hmm. I did join the Global Luxury Office this fall, and I was also named a Rising Star in Real Estate by Seattle Magazine and Five Star Professional.
Wow.
Thanks to whoever nominated me, because they don't tell you. So big thanks to my clients out there. So those are a few things that made my year really big and great.
Yeah, and that's great. And that word is huge because it does come from clients, and they're actually talking with clients that have gone through and worked with you before, and you know, kind of vetting that process for you and how it went.
Process.
So congratulations for that. Well, coming up next, the Money Hour, we're going to stick around with Amanda and with Jen from Coldwell Banker Bain Global Luxury, and we're talking about women leaders, which they both are in the real estate space, and the myth of life balance. Right here at 11:50 a.m. KKNW. After the short break.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host Tina Mitchell and co-host Keelan Harvey on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
Here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell.
And your co-host, Keelan Harvey.
Your local mortgage experts right here at 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, December 15th show, obviously working up to the holidays. During the holidays and in the new year, we are here to help you build a strong financial blueprint. 1 week and one show at a time. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we're here to answer any questions or connect you with a guest that we have on the show today. Please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, we're going to have a continued conversation with Amanda Wright and Jen Johnson Cameron of Coldwell Banker Bain Global Luxury, women leaders in real estate and the myth of life balance.
So Amanda, speaking of global luxury, that's the exciting thing here. Tell us a little bit, what exactly is luxury and how can we define that in this real estate market?
You know, I think luxury is highly personal. It's not a price point, which is sort of the common conception of that. But it's convenience. It's a really high level of service that meets a demand really promptly. It anticipates that demand. And, you know, in an era where you can order anything from food to a car on an app and receive it pretty much instantaneously, or at least receive the information instantaneously, we as luxury agents really need to rise to that sort of same level of expectation and meet that demand in the same way. So it's being there around the clock. It's anticipating needs. It's going, you know, further than they could expect for what they're asking. In terms of the actual product, I think in our time-starved society, that features that give time back or shorten a time for a client are really big in homes themselves. So whether it be, you know, a shorter commute time for a client, smart home features, being closer to friends, more opportunities to gather with the people that you love. It's also being closer to nature or views or whatever, you know, really sets your heart on fire.
I love that.
The quality of your surroundings, even the history of a home and who designed it. So it's really highly personal to the client. It's not so much about the dollar figure of the home, although it can include that as well.
Yeah.
And
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say home technology is a really big emerging market in luxury as well.
Yeah. Well, that was an interesting, and thank you for clarifying that, because you do think luxury is about price, you know, like that price point of this and up. So what about the trends that the two of you are kind of expecting and seeing coming up for our new year in 2019?
Well, I think Amanda touched on smart homes, and it's kind of become the norm now where you walk into the garage and the car charger is there. And, you know, everything is on an app now, from your heating and cooling systems to your sound to your audio to your window shades to being able to set controls for different things, but also building green. I think that the emerging luxury consumer, the younger generation that is purchasing luxury homes, they're really looking for building green. They've been taught in that generation to kind of reflect on, how do I make this a better world, you know?
Cool.
And
Yeah, and I'll add, too, in terms of features to the home, in addition to smart features, we see a lot of really sort of swanky closets and really functional closets, especially in the master. Where you've got like a laundry room inside your closet.
That's,
you know,
cool.
Full
well,
guest
I guess my house is not luxury. Gosh,
Well, these are just, you know, they're trends and to each his own. But full guest suites that also include a laundry room. So really kind of anticipating the needs of your lifestyle. And builders are addressing those in different ways today.
If I can afford Jimmy Choo's, I definitely want to see them when I walk in my closet.
Oh, display. 100%.
Lighted along with my Gucci.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
You know, to go back, you said something kind of interesting. Time. I was thinking about that. Time is the one thing, the one resource you can't get back that is so valuable. Mm-hmm. And Tina's course is all about time. Time is that commodity that everybody wants more of.
Yeah, everyone needs more of it. And so, you know, in the real estate market especially, buyers are willing to pay more for things that give them their time back.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, the most obvious one is commute time, right? So when you're closer to sort of the urban cores, prices tend to go up a little bit because of demand. But it's other things too. And yeah, you're absolutely right. You can't get that back. People are willing to pay good money
for their
more time.
Yeah. Well, I say you can't make more time, but you can make more out of the time that you have. And technology is so in the spirit of one timing with all of the technology coming in. So, Jen, any other trends that you expect to see in the coming year?
You know, I think the connection to the outdoors will continue, especially here in the Pacific Northwest. We're not afforded all year round outdoor activities, but, you know, nano doors, covered patios, heaters, sound systems, fireplaces where you can step out and still feel that you have a larger connection to the outdoors. I think that. And mixed materials. I was in a gorgeous property the other day that had really unique bamboo cabinets and then concrete counters and layered lighting that just really made you feel that you had the elements of the outdoor in.
Yeah, that's cool.
The modern, how long do you think that that's going to stick around? Do you feel that we're really going to stay in this modern trend for, you know, I get concerned and wonder, you know, is modern going to be here and then it goes away and then it gets back to traditional and you...
You mean in architecture or interior design or both?
Both.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think that contemporary architecture will date you to a certain point.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
No one knows how long it's going to stay around. Yeah. But I think that, you know, 10, 20 years down the road, when you look at that Seattle panel boxed house, you're going to say, oh, that's a house from
like
2010.
Like the split level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's very functional. So I think it will be around for quite a while. But I think it will still date you at the same time.
Good question, Tina. It's like the Mohawk.
Well,
like, that was cool in 2000.
We bought our home in Newcastle in 2004, December of 2004. And then the meltdown happened and all of the lots that were still in this, you know, 20-lot cul-de-sac, the builder, they stopped building. Well, then after the crisis, now the homes are all, the lots are getting filled. So you have more traditional houses and then all the new ones that are modern. It's like, so we've got kind of a mixed spirit going on, which is kind of cool. But so,
Your house is beautiful, by the way, Tina.
Thank you very much.
Very nice, very nice.
I don't have that laundry room in the closet.
Well, you're going to have to work on Dave on that
one. No kidding. Huh? He does the laundry, so it really doesn't matter where the laundry room is.
So funny.
Love you, honey.
So, Jen, what's something that you're seeing in new development that would surprise some of our listeners? What are you seeing?
You know, there's been a lot of talk about how formal living areas are going away, but that's really not what you're seeing with the floor plans. What you're seeing is kind of a modern twist on how those spaces are used. So what would be a traditional living room might be a bar or a parlor or connect to kind of more of a fun room. But I don't think the overall floor plans are just doing away with, let's say, a formal dining room, but they're changing the function of that space to how it fits for today's living.
Mm-hmm. That's cool, because a lot of times you feel like you're forced to have a dining room there or you're forced to, like, mold to this thing, and it's not useful. Like, I have this huge kitchen island, and we sit around it all the time, and, you know, that's kind of our family space, but I don't know about sitting down. I don't sit down at a dining room table ever. It's just we're so fast-paced.
Should consider another use for the room, then.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm getting to. That's pretty awesome. That's good to know.
Yeah. So, Jen, so you've had some big news this week when it was announced that the NHL would be coming to Seattle.
Yeah. So for those that do not know what the NHL is, we are getting professional hockey. So my darling husband played for Notre Dame. His brother Ian played for Bowling Green and now coaches professionally. Our nephew Brody plays, and it's Christmas is like who still has their original teeth.
Wow.
You know, you know, who's got the biggest scar, you know, how many can you count? But so we're thrilled. We are super excited. And I know that
who
my husband already
still
has
their
tickets.
Original knees.
Is there's
like
that.
One of them?
So
yeah.
far, I think they're doing pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good. You know, they've
so
all.
So exciting.
Yeah. Most of them still have their hair too. So anyways, I don't know if you know that. It's called flow, right? The big hockey hair.
Oh.
Oh, that's new.
The hockey do.
Yeah. Go Google it.
Yeah. Don't mess with her family. Holy smokes.
Yeah, no kidding. Lord.
They got enforcers in there.
Yeah. So we're excited. You know, I've had a lot of questions, you know, will this really impact the luxury market? How will it impact it? But, you know, a lot of the professional players that come in town, many of them end up renting. They're not sure if they'll be traded.
Well, Frank Clark lives next door to us. We had Cliff Averill first, and then Frank Clark moved in when Cliff got busted up. Yeah.
Yeah. So they need to find a rental. Mm-hmm. The brokers are actually stocking their fridge, setting up, creating lists for them. The players that come in with families, they're more likely to buy, and then they want to live close to each other. The mm-hmm. wives have husbands that are gone and kids, and it kind of gives them a community and a support system if they have people nearby that understand their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Jen, I got a question for you. We always get the discussion of technology. I mean, we've been talking a lot about technology in homes, and, you know, there's apps for everything. And, you know, do you ever see at some point where an app or technology could replace brokers?
I love that question because it seems to be the hot topic.
Yeah.
You know, there's always, you know, conversation around technology, and the brokers come to me, will I be out of a job in 10 years? But here's what I have to say is technology changes daily.
Yep.
It evolves. It's not like you create technology and then it never improves or changes. Look at your iPhone, right? But it makes our job and that for the consumer better, faster, easier. And that's the benefit of technology in real estate. But what it has really done is it's become confusing to consumers because this age of technology gives them so much conflicting information that mm-hmm. I think that the value of the broker is even higher because they have to disseminate that information and then analyze it for the client so that they can make good decisions. Also, I can attest to the fact that, you know, technology couldn't determine if the house next door had hoarders or, you know, a unique smell that would affect the price or the value. And it cannot sit with somebody who's a senior and go through and part ways with 50 years of history and family and all those things that we do to help someone through that process. So, no, brokers are not going away. Yeah. I think even more so our value, as long as we stay high level, is assured.
Well, there's no emotion in technology, right? And what we do on our side and your side is extremely emotional. So it's more or less managing the people through the process.
Yeah, good point.
And then putting all those pieces together and really just giving them a comfortable experience. And I don't know how you'd get that from an app or technology or an algorithm. It just can't do it.
Yeah, right.
No, and brokers, you know, once they've been in the business for years, their negotiating skills are sharp. That is a skill set that improves over time. Mm-hmm. So when you're choosing a broker and they're out there negotiating for you, they're working on your behalf to achieve something. That's something that technology could not do for a client.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, having a person working you through the process is always going to be there. And, you know, I just kind of go back. I got into the industry in May of 1995. And, you know, we have conversations with our business partners in the real estate space. And I'll just, you know, ask them, remember back in the day when you had those big books, which you were talking about, and real estate agents, you actually couldn't get any information about any house. You had no idea what was out on the market unless you had an agent that had that big book and they actually shared that information with you. And then the technology came in. And, you know, agents were concerned about not being here. And then you look, what if technology was not here? And where would you rather be? And everybody, it's like that's been made it so much easier so you can provide that higher level of service for your clients. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Not, I not think going anywhere.
There's a broad range of skills and things that we do as a broker.
Yes.
And you know, disseminating information is just one piece. And that's what technology is pretty good at right now, is just getting information to people. But that's one minor thing in the, you know, the broad scope of what we do.
Yeah. So, Amanda, you got into the real estate industry and then you started your family, had your baby. Mm-hmm. And so how was that for you, that timing? And how did that go for you, a brand new mom, just starting your career in real estate?
Yeah, I had my daughter about 8 months into my career, so it was within my first year, which made it very challenging. Mm-hmm. Every time you have to stop in your business and start again, it's sort of like starting new again. So that part was certainly very challenging. It's very difficult on many ways, but at the same time, I don't know any other industry where I could be successful doing the job that I love and also raising my family. So, you know, part of the difficulty is that I want to be there for my clients around the clock 24/7, but I also want to be there for my family for the same amount of time. And so you have to you have to set expectations and balance your time as best as you can. And really, you know, setting up those expectations for your clients on when you're available and when you're not. Most people respect that, I found. So, you know, that's what's great about being in this industry as a mom, but certainly does not go without its challenges.
Yeah, and I always say, I mean, you need to set your boundaries. And your clients, for the most part, you think that people think clients want and expect more than they do. And so no good client is going to expect you not to be able to be a mom and be a spouse. And so, yeah. Well, coming up next in the Money Hour, we're going to wrap it up and stay here with Amanda and Jen from Coldwell Banker Bain, Global Luxury, Women Leaders in Real Estate, and the Myth of Life Balance right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host Keelan Harvey on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed
Welcome
Reindeer.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell.
Your co-host, Keelan Harvey.
You're a local mortgage experts right here on 1150 AM, KKNW, the Saturday, December 15th show. Bring in each week the best of the best experts in the local market, everything on money and how it's going to affect your money. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but to connect with the guests that we have or ask any questions, please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. That's a little reindeer.
I know.
Music.
Yeah, I saw him. He cruised right by the window.
So awesome. And yeah, okay, that just took me off guard. Okay.
Threw her off.
I can't believe I looked.
I did too.
That is so awesome.
Santa.
I know him.
See, we have so much fun. We have so much fun here on the Money Hour. Now in studio, continuing our conversation with Amanda Wright and Jen Johnson, Cameron of Coldwell Banker Bain Global Luxury. We're talking about women leaders in real estate and the myth of life balance.
So, Amanda, you left off as being a new mom in your career, and I got to give you a shout out to that because the best thing that ever happened to me was being a dad. But there's a lot of challenges, as we both know, in being a mom and taking that career on. If you can get through that, you could do anything. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You kind of feel like a superwoman or superman in your case.
Yeah, you don't even know what's coming at you, and you
can
just
do
deal
anything.
With it, you know?
I mean, for both of us, we're business owners, right? We run our own business, and business owners have to work hard and long hours and do all kinds of things to keep the business going, and you've got to find a way to make everything sort of work in your life. And like I said before, I don't know any other industry where I could actually successfully do that. So when it's, you know, I always tell my clients, I'm here for you all the time around the clock, but between the hours of 5 and 8 p.m., you will not be able to get me by phone unless you text me, because I am, I'm putting my kid to bed or getting dinner ready. We're doing the whole thing. And I'm not going to miss that with my kid. And people tend to respect that. And
at first,
you know, when I was a new mom, I didn't think that they would. I felt really bad about setting that boundary. And then once I actually started practicing it, it was very easy.
And they respect you as a business professional more when you don't, you know, you're not available 24/7, but you have your boundaries. Because if you don't have your boundaries in life, then you can't really be enjoying life, which means you can't be enjoying your career, which means you can't be,
you'll be miserable.
Excellent at it. Exactly.
Yeah. And who says, hey, don't be a good mom? I mean, really, right? You're doing the right thing with your kids. So.
Absolutely.
Well, considering, let's talk a little bit about your switch to you've been with Coldwell Banker Bain for 5 years, and then you made this new switch to the Global Luxury office in Lincoln Square. And what prompted that move and taking that next level of your business?
Well, I think it's just that, you know, I've been with Coldwell Banker for 5 years, and my business was developing and growing to the point where I was just sort of ready for the next level. In addition to that, the luxury market in Seattle has been growing and developing at the same time. So I really wanted to be in a place where I could both hone my skills and have all of the excellent resources that our company offers for clients at that level. And, you know, like we've mentioned, Jen's mentioned before, it's no matter what type of house or price point you're in, you're going to get that same excellent service and detail and attention from us. And, you know, to be fair, I would say that regardless of what office you're in Coldwell Banker Bain, you're going to get great attention and care from any of our agents. But, you know, for me as well, being a young mother working through my career, I wanted to be around other top producing women who also have families, and just to be around them and learn from them, kind of get mentorship from them. So there's a lot of really fabulous agents in that office. And hey, I'm just glad they let me in.
We feel very fortunate to have Amanda.
Part of the cool kids.
She's definitely our people. But there's kind of a joke that every time I walk in the kitchen, there's Amanda. And she's
What is she doing in the kitchen?
I don't know, but she's sprouting a couple of pounds out front. Amanda, is there something going on?
If this was any other time of the year, I would be so offended. But no, so another little new development this year. I'm actually cooking child number two in the oven as we speak. So,
oh my gosh, congratulations.
Baby number two on the way, coming next May. This whole, you know, career, family, trying to balance the two and trying to make sense of the two is about to get more intense for me.
But how exciting, because you know those commercials where they show for the first mom what it looks like, and or the first child for the mom what it looks like, and then she has her second child and what it looks like. And I think it's going to be like that with your career. You know that you don't have to be at the beck and call for your clients, but you can have that balance of a career providing a high level of service to your clients and being a great mother. And so, you know, exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
You could just strap your baby with you and take them to a showing,
you know,
right?
A lot of people really like that. Kind of depends on the client, but a lot of people really, really do like that. So I'm going to work that baby for all it's worth,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Bring out the cuteness factor. No, and you know, we talk about, the term is work-life balance, but you know, it's, I'm not sure balance is the best word for that. I think that you have to do what you have to do during any given moment or any given day, right? Like I will always feel guilty about not giving my clients enough. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I'll always feel guilty about not giving my family enough. Because there's really no way to give everything to everyone. You have to just sort of take it a moment at a time and a day at a time. And it's sort of this give and take. And in the end, if you're setting up the right expectations, I think everyone can kind of roll with it and can understand, and it works. But you know, like you mentioned, if you're not happy in your career, you're not going to be good at it.
Yeah.
And so,
well, and I think you can focus on all of the great things that you are for your family, and you can focus on all the great things you are for your client. And, you know, then it's because really it's like everything else, there is that that balance sides, and where your tension is, where it's at. So, yeah.
Yeah. And another reason why I love this company and the office I'm in is the people. It's a great network and support system of people. Jen and I talked a lot about, you know, what will it look like in this coming year when I do take time off, and then when I'm trying to sort out having two kids and a career. What will it look like? How will there be support for me and my clients? Yeah. And it's there. It exists. It makes me feel very confident. That's one of the reasons why I moved over. Whether it's other agents in my office helping out or the staff picking up some of the activities I need to do. And everyone is, it's very much a team sport in our company, which I absolutely love. So,
well, and you know, it is, you know, for us as well. I mean, I leave on vacation sometimes, and my clients have no idea that I'm out of town, and you know, the team just steps in and does what they need to do. And so I'm, you know, it's great to have that backing.
And credit to that, when you have that level of service and what you do, you're good at what you do, right? At the end of the day, you're a great mom and you're a great agent. So when you deliver, it's all about that expectation. I think that's a great, great word that you use, expectation, and having people
really
understand,
point.
Right? Because if everybody's on the same page, you just deliver. That's it. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
I think the worst expectations are the ones that we put on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. It totally
Amanda, absolutely.
It totally is.
She is where I was in my career when I got started. Now my children are 20 and 22, so I feel very old saying that. But, you know, the idea that there's balance is a myth, especially if you're going to choose something like real estate. But the trade-offs are what's so beautiful about it, that you do have that flexibility to create your own business the way you want to. But I don't feel that women have to pick and choose. Mm-mm. You know, if you want to stay home and raise your children, do it. If you want to have a career and not have children, do it. Some people find themselves as a single mom having to work when they never planned to.
Yeah.
But the idea is that you're able to get to the point where you can live your best life. And that means giving yourself a lot of grace, because there are times, like Amanda said, where you feel like you're not giving your child enough. But today's society says, be a great mom. Be a strong leader at work.
Yeah.
Go home, make an incredible meal, and be a sex kitten later for your husband or your partner, right?
Yeah.
And you probably have to go, okay, there's got to be a flow here. And sometimes I'm going to go towards the greatest need, and sometimes I'm going to swing back. And if you allow yourself the ability to live your life like that with grace, not putting that expectation on yourself that you have to be all things at all times, then you'll kind of pick it out when you need to and move to the next thing.
Yeah. Well, awesome. And I like, Amanda, how you said one day is going to be this and another day is this. And I think, like anything else in business, you know, I talk a lot about time blocking, where a lot of entrepreneurs feel that time blocking is not possible. And I always bring back in, too, if you look at the 80-20 rule, 80% are not getting 20% of the result, or 80% are getting 20% of the results, which means there's only 20% that are even doing a small amount of what you ultimately would want to do. A 1 percentile, the best of the best, 99% of them are not that. So be cautious of who you're listening to your perspective from. So time blocking is possible, and it's critically important in any business, whether you're a sole entrepreneur or not. And so it's the same when you're a mother. You're just time blocking in those things when you have your kids' sports games. You're time blocking that. And then when the kids are in school, this is the time that you're working. And it can all flow.
Absolutely.
Really efficiently.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Time blocking is something that I started doing this year as sort of an experiment to see, can this be better for myself?
Yes.
Can, you know, this tension between family and work life actually work? And so I started in small ways. You know, I don't time block every single hour of my day, but there are certain things that I do every single morning, and there are certain things I do every single week.
Yes.
And my time is blocked out for that. Sometimes I can multitask, but that's not truly time blocking, so I'm really trying to kick that habit. But anyway, you know, I've seen some great developments in my business this year, and I have to attribute it to that. You know,
I love that, because I'm so true.
Yeah.
So we started this conversation with how real estate is such a great industry for women in general, and how that works. And we've kind of touched on some of these things. Can you guys elaborate on that a little bit more?
Absolutely. You know, there's a Harvard study. I'd have to quote it, but I can't. But I saw it once. It talked about women in real estate and why this was a field that we could excel in. And it talked about how good we are at extracting information.
Hello.
And that makes us really great negotiators.
If you
look at Manhattan, for example, you know, the heads of all the large firms are women.
Yeah.
And it's a place where I think in the past has really been kind of the good old boys club. And you're starting to see that even in our own company, where Barb Hindle recently moved up to one of our top executives for the company. And I think that the skills that women possess, compassion, leading with heart and soul, also having the ability to multitask at a high level, really play into what helps us to excel in real estate. I do feel that we have a sense of responsibility as women in leadership to really be great mentors to younger women in that generation that are looking at social media and seeing, like, you're supposed to be all things to all people and it looks so beautiful and perfect. That's not reality, because we all have stories and struggles. And the more we share those, the more that we can start to connect with these young women as they rise up.
Well, I got to give a shout out, actually. Speaking of, my mom is the vice president of Edison 47 Property Management. So I was brought up by a strong businesswoman, and I would have to say I attribute a lot of my success to following her as a woman and in a very man-driven environment. She had to work very hard. You know, she's I won't say how old she is now, but, you know, that was a stereotype back then, and it was an extra layer for her, and to see her go through that inspired me for sure. Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you here for Girl Power show today.
Power Hour.
And you're like, add some girl
stuff
like in there.
Right in there.
I better shut up.
Yeah, so awesome. Well, we're out of time. We should just have an entire show about girl power and women power in careers. I do want to say in the financial arena, outside of mortgages, but financial advising, that's one area that it seems like they're lacking some of that strong women power like we have here, but another show. Well, thank you both of you for coming back in. Jen, first time on the show. Amanda, thank you for coming back, and excited to have both of you back again.
Thank you very much.
Thank
it was
you.
A lot of fun.
Have a happy holiday.
Yes, and this is your host, Tina Mitchell.
And your co-host, Keelan Harvey.
Signing off for the day. As the holiday seasons approach, may your home be filled with joy, love, and tons of laughter. We'll be here next week, same time, same place, right here at 11:50 a.m., KKNW. Have a great weekend.